Masonic propaganda has so blinded the nations, even those that did not revolt against the mystical body in the 16th century, to the significance of naturalism, that it is difficult to rouse them to the full perception of the real issues at stake. The warnings of the sovereign pontiffs and the Judeo-Masonic attack on the supernatural life in Spain have succeeded, it is true, in getting them to stir uneasily in their slumbers, but they cannot be said to be as yet awake. The Masonic Declaration of the Rights of Man in 1789 has contributed also to bewilder people with regard to the significance of the communistic attack on private property. The real meaning of the equality of the French Revolution, the one behind which is all the driving force of Masonry, is that all men are equally God. Accordingly, in a properly constituted state, an absolute social equality should counterbalance natural inequalities. The right of private property as the greatest cause of social inequality must be abolished. We need not be surprised, then, at the lukewarm opposition to communism wherever the virus of the French Revolution has penetrated, and the poorer members of society who have had such sad experiences in the so-called Christian countries since the 16th century are easily drawn to listen to Marx's cajoling words. The proletariat, according to the Jewish siren, is a messianic class destined by its rule to bring about a new era in the world. People are slow to grasp that both the proletariat in general and the Russian proletariat in particular are only means for the messianic dreams of Marx's own nation. The significance of the Balfour Declaration. Thanks to their dual citizenship in modern times, the Jews, while retaining their primary allegiance to their own nation and their devotion to the ideal of the domination of the natural Messiah, have been able to use their positions of power for the furtherance of their national program, which, as I have so often insisted, is necessarily and inevitably opposed to the rule of a supernatural Messiah, Christ the King. And now, unfortunately, the Balfour Declaration of November 2, 1917, would seem to have for effect the perpetuation of this anti-supernatural, anti-Christian anomaly. The text of the letter addressed by Arthur James, later Lord Balfour, then British Secretary of State for Foreign Affairs, to Lord Rothschild, is as follows, quote, Foreign Office, November 2, 1917. Dear Lord Rothschild, I have much pleasure in conveying to you on behalf of His Majesty's government the following declaration of sympathy with Jewish Zionist aspirations, which has been submitted to and approved by the Cabinet. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people, and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation. Yours sincerely, Arthur James Balfour. For citizens of other states, citizenship is restricted to one state. Why should Jews be permitted to be citizens of two states? The anomaly is already glaring when they form a state within a state. It is doubly so when they have a Jewish state in Palestine. And it must always be remembered that it means keeping the enemies of Christ's kingship in a specially favored position. We read in Der Tag, the Yiddish daily, New York, 10 July 1937, quote, Hail the Jewish state in Palestine. For close on 2,000 years, it has lived only in the memory of an uprooted, wandering people, conquered and leveled to the earth by the Roman hosts of Titus, aided by the hordes swarming across Europe from the primeval forests of old Germania. It is now about to rear its head once more, looking with new hope across the Mediterranean. It is our historic privilege, denied our forefathers for 20 centuries, to see the Jewish state revived again in the old historic site. The landless people, no longer deprived of nationhood, is landless and stateless no longer. Once more, are we a member of the family of nations, recognized and welcomed as such. Our ambassadors and ministers will be found in every capital, and a seat will be reserved for us at the council table of the League of Nations. Even in Germany, whence 2,000 years ago came those who destroyed us, just as today they plot our ruin, we shall have our envoy speaking for us proudly, courageously, as one government representative to another. Washington, the center of Jewish hope in the Western world, will count the Jewish ambassador among the youngest members of its diplomatic family. Hail the new Jewish state. End of quote.